Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace rolling on. Special holiday time here, so we've got a little merging of shows. Caroline under the weather, down for the count, but not for long. She'll be back very soon, hopefully by tomorrow. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. We've got Joe Dubin here with us as well. Chase McCabe with some suit duties has been in and out of the lineup today. So we're trying to make it for one more hour, and then we will send it to the bowl coverage. But Elliot Friedman, nice enough to join us, shaking up his schedule a little bit to join us about an hour earlier than normal. But, Elliot, hope you had a great holiday here. I know, just like everybody around the league, you try to catch your breath for those 3 days. And so hopefully you're back and recharged.
Yes, I have to say, like when I was on last Thursday and I asked if I was coming back this week or on this week, and you guys said you're not sure, 99% of me believe the answer would be no. So I'm actually impressed that you guys are working.
Oh, no question. No question. D-Mace, he's got his nose to the grindstone. He's ready.
Yes.
But so, Elliot, let me throw this at you. We've had some interesting ones. I know I texted you after one of them, but we had another one last night, and sort of the issue is the referee's use of the replay system. There were actually two in the game last night, a loss by the Predators to the Hurricanes. But I had some people reach out to me after the game, and we were a little bit confused even during the broadcast of what you're able to do. Wes McCauley, maybe the best ref out there, right? Utmost respect, got a great flair. You love it when he's in your building and involved in a game. There's a play where Gus Nyquist scores. I don't know if you saw this play, Elliot, but Gus Nyquist scores a goal, and as he's watching the goal go in, he's not looking, and he gets run into by Andrei Svechnikov, and it knocks him out for a while. He went into the protocol to get checked out. He missed about 10 minutes of the game. And so they saw this. They decided to huddle up as a group and review the play. So you have to call a five-minute major to review it.
Yes.
And he doesn't say, Wes McCauley, what the penalty is. He says, we have a five-minute major. We're going to go take a look and review. And then I didn't know at that point if he's able to, it's either five or zero, or could he say it's two?
Two. He can say two.
Well, that was interesting to us. So he didn't say what the penalty was, and I don't know what you would call that. Interference, I guess? But give me your thoughts on maybe how the referees are trying to use the replay system, but how much leeway do they have sometimes? Because it's a slippery slope if you go in and you start looking for one thing and you see something else.
Well, you know, Willie, when you sent me the note about the game last week in Philadelphia, I was actually watching that game when that happened. I happened to be sitting, I was working last Thursday night. We had a regional broadcast. And I was watching that play when it happened. I saw it all unfold. And when they called initially Trennan for a hit to the head,
right,
I was like, that's kind of weird. But I did know that at one time the league was investigating the possibility of if somebody gets hit and their head is their head gets impacted, like they get smashed into the boards and their head gets impacted, should that be a hit to the head? So initially, that's what I thought they were thinking, that, okay, well, maybe they must have done this, and I'm just, like, sometimes you miss things, so I was like, maybe they must have done this, and I just wasn't aware of it. That's not the case. Basically, what I think happened in that particular situation in Philadelphia was they made the wrong call, but they felt they had the right idea. Like, ultimately, they're going to say, we want to make the right call. We definitely felt that was boarding, and maybe we didn't get to the proper route. Maybe we didn't take the proper route. Like, my ways took me the wrong the longer direction, but we got to the right spot. So I was working last night. I did not see this specific play. So allow me just to mention, I'm referring to this without seeing the specific play, but my theory is that based on what happened last week in your game in Philadelphia, they said, let's huddle up, let's call the penalty so we can review it, and then we can see exactly what we're dealing with here. Now, the rule used to be, Willie, that if you called a five-minute major, it had to be a penalty. It could only be a five or a two. And then they started seeing some situations where they were calling high-sticking majors, and they realized that, oh, wait, it was the teammate's own stick, or maybe it was another stick from a teammate lifted the opponent's stick into him. Like, it really wasn't a high stick. They said, why should we have a penalty? Why should we be married to the fact there has to be a penalty if it wasn't a penalty? So they brought it in a couple of years ago. I think it was before last season that it could go either 5-2 or 0. So I think what you saw last night was these guys saying, okay, we see something here. We don't like the looks of it, but we want to review it. It's basically, for lack of a better term, and if the league hears this, I know I'll get a phone call, a cheat code.
Yeah, I think, like you said, you use the Waze reference. I think our reference was in math class. Mm-hmm. You get the right answer, but your teacher goes, I'm not really sure about how you got to the answer, but somehow the answer was...
I'm going to dock you a couple points.
Right, so the answer is 4. Yes. You got that, but you didn't do the formulas right. But I see that. That's a good way to go, but I do think that can lead to some other issues, right? We talk about it in other sports, too, the right way to use replay.
Yes.
Like in college football, there is a rule called targeting where you can look at a hit to the head like that, and it still isn't perfect, right? And so it's never going to be perfect, but you want the refs to be able to look at things when they get a chance, even if you don't end up liking the end result.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is especially when it came to Trennan, it was like there was an epidemic of hits from behind.
Right.
And I think that the league would privately admit that if one of those hits, and I'm talking about the one with Florida and Columbus, Nick Cousins and Erica Branson, if that one had been adjudicated differently, then a lot of this wouldn't have happened. So I think the clampdown came and they were like, just start making these calls and stop this before it gets way out of control. So I think that's kind of what happened there with your call in Philly last week.
We'll talk with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. You can go check him out. Please do. It's a great lesson. Now, Elliot, the Predators, they take a huge loss last night against the Hurricane, 5-2.
Yep.
And it seems like, and I said this to Willie, I said it seems like this team can go on like a 2 or 3 game run, 4 game run, and then all of a sudden it sort of hits this wall. And when they hit the wall, it's like, they hit the wall in a bad way. It's not a close game. The Stars game was close, but it's typically they're getting blown out. They're getting beat by 2 or 3 goals. And the question that I want to ask you right now, they sit in second position in the wild card. They're right below Arizona. Well, they're tied with the Coyotes in points. Does this team have enough, like, you know, that second tier of talent, do they have enough to consistently make a run into the playoffs? Because, like I said, they remind me of this wind-up toy where you wind it up and for 4 or 5 games they're playing hard and then all of a sudden the car slows down and they just hit a block.
So what you're saying is that team could not play for John Harbaugh, right, Derek? Is that what you're saying?
Probably not, no. But
yeah, so you know, I totally understand where you're coming from, and this is what I always believe, Derek. And it always goes back to this for me. Whenever I start to see what a team is doing, I always look back and say, at the start of the year, what did you think you were, and at certain points in the seasons, what are you? And I go back to this year at the beginning of the year. This was a kind of a – I know the Predators and a lot of fans, they hate the term rebuild. But this was kind of a rebuild year for the Predators. They went out and they got Ryan O'Reilly and they got Luke Shen. They got some really good veterans. But they're trying to build a new way of doing things, new coach, new way to play, get the kids more in the lineup, find out what we've got here. And to be honest, Derek, I think you guys have exceeded expectations. You are better than I thought you were going to be. But I don't – like, Barry Trotz's job is to be a realist. Mm-hmm. And I think the realist view is I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying being in the race. I'm enjoying being a little bit better than I thought, but I'm under no illusions of what we really are. And so – I think that he looks at it as, let's enjoy it. Let's let our kids play in meaningful games for as long as we can, but they're not going to do anything that doesn't make sense for the long term. Like, I don't see costly short-term moves for the Predators. I think it's, we're playing the long game, and we're going to enjoy this success that we've had this year and a playoff race for as long as we can. I think that's honestly, like, when you lose games like that, Derek, that mm-hmm. just says to me, and I think I said this to you last week, if you guys have a bad night, you're not good enough to overcome it. If you just, if it's not there, you're going to get pelted. So you better be there a lot more often than not.
So you don't see them potentially being a player once the trade deadline comes?
I think if they're going to be a player, you know, maybe they do something. Like, the only way I think they're going to do anything major is if it's at a what they think is an inexpensive price or a player that they have control over. And that, I'm talking about adding. Mm-hmm. Like, if somehow the Predators are handing a young player that they think is really good that they can have team control over for a while, I think you always consider that. But more likely, Derek, I think that, like, it doesn't make sense for them to trade their top draft picks. It doesn't make sense for them to trade their top prospects. They're still growing. I wouldn't do that if I were them. But, you know, could they subtract maybe one of their defensemen or a couple players? Yes, I think that's possible. And if some good young player was gifted to them, sort of like how, you know, Forsberg was all those years ago, I'm sure they're going to consider that.
Boy, if they could get anything close mm-hmm. to that, mm-hmm. that's a pretty good one, I would say. Elliot, it was an interesting...
That's the franchise defining.
Yeah, that was the grand slam that happened at the last minute. Elliot, there was an interesting game last night. Minnesota knocks off Detroit. And, of course, Nashville is headed to Detroit here very shortly to play the Red Wings. First of all, what do you think has gone on to account for this dip for the Red Wings in your mind? They've lost 8 out of 10, and... They were really a great story for a while, but now they're going through some adversity.
Well, they're giving up a lot of goals, Willie. Like, it sounds stupid. Like, you know, it's thanks tips. it sounds really really dumb, but they're giving up a lot of goals. I think Reimer, the goalie, I think he's given up 5 goals in 4 or 5 straight games. So, like, you're not going to win like that in this league. You can't win like that in this league. The guy who's been their best goalie this year, Alex Lyon, and I saw some video of him today taking some shots. He's been out, and at the beginning they just didn't play him, and then once he started playing and went on a bit of a run, he got hurt. So, and I'll say this, like, in the Eastern Conference, there's been 3 teams this year that I think a lot of us got either fooled on or we just aren't very bright, and that's Buffalo, Ottawa, and Detroit. And they're all really talented young teams that have flopped this year. And the issue there is that, you know, the hardest thing to do in this league is check. Everybody looks great when they've got the puck. What do you look like when you don't have it? How good are you at getting it back? How aggressive are you? Can you check? You know, one of the greatest winners that the sport has ever seen, a guy named Bob Gainey, who played for the Montreal Canadiens. He won Stanley Cups as a player. He won Stanley Cups as a general manager. He always told me, he says, if you cannot check, you cannot win the Stanley Cup. And if you can't defend, you're not going to win. And Detroit has real problems defending, and they have real problems stopping the puck. Like, all the offense in the world is not going to help you if you're like that.
Another classic one that you can take a moment in time and pick any different sport is the coaching change sometimes it works, yeah, sometimes it doesn't. And a guy who is labeled like Joe Torre in baseball, this guy's never going to win anything. Why would the Yankees want to take Joe Torre as the manager?
Yeah.
And then now he's a Hall of Famer. And I'm not saying this is going to happen with the next one, but I want to ask you about John Hines, because he went through that, you know, washing machine, if you will, when the team was struggling here. It's the coach. They just need to change the coach, et cetera. And his defenders, like me, would say, well, this guy's a good coach. It doesn't mean he can't coach just because a team is struggling. And now he goes to Minnesota, and they're 11-3, and I don't know what the next 20 games are going to look like, but it looks like he's the right guy in the right spot for them.
Well, I think there is something to the coach bounce. I do believe that can happen. You know, I think it's really interesting. Like, when I have to watch Minnesota, like, for one thing, Minnesota's goalie, the number one goalie, Gustafson, he was really struggling. And he's making saves now. So that's one thing. Like, the thing about Hines, when he was in some of the places he's been, he was seen as a really rigid guy. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I had some people who disputed that in Nashville, because like Yossi, you can't be too rigid with Yossi. You have to let him be who he is. And now this year, as a matter of fact, what's kind of happened with Yossi is that Andrew Burnett has kind of asked him, okay, Roman, we need you to change a little bit. And Yossi has done that, and I think it's helped both player and team. But I think that one of the things that someone has told me, interestingly, about Hines early on is that he appears, and I have to watch more to see it, is that he's not as rigid as he was in New Jersey or Nashville. And, you know, someone said to me that sometimes what happens in coaching to be successful is you start and you have all these rules, and some of them work and some of them don't. And the question is, do you adapt? And someone who's just watched Minnesota and knows Hines a bit told me he sees a guy who's really learned that lesson. Like, Hines has told the story about how he went to some people and said, what do I have to do better? And he heard some really blunt things. And someone has said to me that one of the things that he heard was, you have to be willing to bend a little bit more in some of the things that you do. And I'm trying to find more of those answers, but that's one of the things that has been proposed to me.
Good stuff. Elliot, thanks a lot for joining us. We'll chat again next week as we move on to 2024. All the best to you and your family for the new year.
You too, and please excuse our sneezing.
It's that time of year.
I wish you guys all the best. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all the great hockey fans of Nashville.
Awesome. Elliot Friedman joining us, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada, and I highly recommend the 32 Thoughts podcast. All right, when we come back, Chase McCabe will take over the reins. I'm going to head over to the airport. Predators flying to Detroit. It is the Red Wings tomorrow night, and then back-to-back in Washington, D.C. against the Capitals, a rematch on Saturday night. So, tough test, two more games against the East, and that will be it for the calendar year 2023. Stay tuned. You're listening to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.